Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sipping martinis, eating scampi and linguine, making blunts disappear like I'm Houdini.
It's Union City's finest, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and I'm listening to my guy Joe Spadoni and my brother from another mother, Excelsior's finest, Butcher Boy Joe Shasky. Take it away, guys.
I got a bone to pick with you, Goo.
Oh.
On that rejoin, you said a lot more about Shasky than me. It's like, hey, you got Joe Spadoni here. He's a really nice guy.
Well, my resume.
He's got a really big personality. And wow, this guy Shasky, I mean, he's the Academy Award winning host.
Now,
I mean,
I'm going to say
some
this.
Some type of way, Goo. Dude, we've been working together for a long time.
You're invited to the cookout. I said you're black. Okay. They love you in the streets.
There is a drop that says that.
Stoney, is that how I sound when I'm thirsty for attention on Spadoni?
Yeah, Spadoni's black.
I didn't give him enough in that. Who calculates that? Spadoni, you know I love you.
Stiney, I didn't know.
That's Butch.
Doc Rivers made an appearance today.
he coached yesterday, too.
Dude, I see Kiara coming in. She goes, you sound awful. Oh, I'm like, what about me showing up?
Who's more washed, Pete Carroll or Doc Rivers?
Doc.
Pete Carroll.
Not even close?
No,
not
Doc.
Even close.
He's blown more 3-1 leads in the NBA playoffs than that's a hell of a factoid.
Guys, I'm not talking
3-1. Go ahead.
I'm not talking basketball on a football Friday with the Eagles going on. Because if we were, I was going to go right at Steve Kerr.
Well, literally, Stoney brought that up. He's talking to Warriors today. He talked to me that off air. I was like, no Warriors.
Yeah.
No.
I got a big one tonight against the Kings.
You're going.
I am
going
to go, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Win that sweater? It's nice.
Wow.
Spadoni, tell us what you mean.
Wait, what?
Wow.
I just said it's nice.
Change. See, wow.
You,
congrats to love.
Stoney, do I not compliment you all the time on your sweaters?
No,
I do. Genuinely, I say he has nice sweaters. You do too, Goo.
Yeah.
It does look good.
Stoney, my guy has been off of a chalice. I mean, this thing is like a
McCafe. Shout out McDonald's.
A McCafe for McDonald's. Yeah. He's been on one all morning.
Oh, whoa.
I'm feeling great. Yeah. I'm feeling on fire.
You might feel horrible, but Spadoni is floating.
I can't do a show without a large coffee. Like getting up that early, I just can't. It's impossible, Stoney. I know you feel that. You've done like early morning shift like maybe once, right?
I need a cup of coffee.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need. Okay.
Let's talk about the game.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it.
Stoney, you've been here a long time. And Goo, you've been here a long time in terms of you've seen it all, right? Like over the years. If I were to say biggest upsets in Bay history in the last, let's just say 30, 40 years, okay? Obviously, almost over 40 years ago, Dallas Cowboys, Niners, NFC Championship game.
Okay, gotcha.
Right.
81.
Rick Barry's in my head because he's my dad's favorite player. 75 is the greatest upset of all time. Let's throw those to the side. Giants beating the Phillies in 2010 is huge. I think we've forgotten how great that Phillies team was. Obviously, we believe. 2015 Warriors to beat LeBron. I mean, it's
come
still,
out of
I'm
nowhere.
Still, I'm still blown away. Okay. What else?
2022 chip. For the Warriors.
That's a good one.
I just thought it was over.
That's more improbable title than biggest upset. I'm talking individual upset in the playoffs. Niners versus the Packers when they went into Lambeau with a hurt Jimmy Garoppolo is pretty high up there for me.
The block kick, punt. All right,
what,
I got you.
What were the road wins in the playoffs when Harbaugh was coaching?
Here's what they were. So, the first year, they had the home game against New Orleans, then the home loss to the New York Giants in the NFC Championship game. The next year, they lost the game down in New Orleans, so they had to go on the road, okay? And so they went, they won in Green Bay and then went, because they had the number two seed, not the number one seed, and they went to Atlanta and were down 17-3 in the NFC Championship game to the Atlanta Falcons. They threw from behind. They won that game on the Navarro Bowman bat down. The next year, they went on the road to Green Bay in the cold game where Harbaugh wore 50 pairs of khakis. They won on a field goal. The next week, they went to Carolina and dismantled a Carolina team
Damn.
That was really good.
Yep.
really good. Luke Kuechly was the DPOY that year. Yep. And then went on the road to Seattle and lost in the fourth quarter in the NFC Championship game. In the Shanahan era, they went on the road to Dallas. They went on the road to Green Bay. They went on the road to L.A., the Rams, and should've they lost to the Rams.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. Going back to the Harbaugh era, how much of an upset or how much did you guys think they could beat Atlanta and Green Bay on the road?
I thought they could beat Atlanta on the road because I thought they were way better on both sides of the ball.
But Green Bay, I thought it was Rodgers and Adams and they had no chance.
That wild card round, like, yeah. It was like, I mean, that team was good.
So they haven't had like 50 road right. playoff games.
No.
So, no, I don't think there's any doubt. If the Niners win this game on Sunday, I mean, it's got to, it'll rank atop the biggest road playoff wins in the last 2 years, I mean, 20 years, right?
It's the worst defense the Niners have rolled out in my adult life for a playoff team. For a playoff team.
And we're all talking about the worst matchup, Goo. It's the defending champs. It's a wide open season. There's no Mahomes. Right. Most of it's AFC, but still, it's a pretty wide open season.
Right. I don't know who's going to represent the NFC.
No one does.
Right.
But I will say this, from a talent standpoint, Philly has it all. So if we are all wrong and missing the target and there's nothing going on in that locker room, are we truly going to be shocked if they go back to the Super Bowl? My answer would be no, because I think something's festering in that locker room. But if not, on paper, they got dogs everywhere.
If I had to rank in the NFC who would go and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I think it'd be Eagles 1, Rams 2,
Seahawks 3. I got Rams
1. Maybe I'm sleeping on the Seahawks and I'll be late to the party. I'm giving the Eagles the benefit of the doubt.
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't think we're sleeping on the Seahawks. We're sleeping on Sam Darnold. Like, Sam
Darnold.
He's
never won a playoff game.
He has to prove it. And that's why this game is so interesting, too, because we have two quarterbacks that have won big games, Steiny. Like, Purdy has won big games.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts has won big games. And obviously, Stafford. He's won the Super Bowl, just like Hurts. But, like, Caleb Williams hasn't won anything. Jordan Love has won. Jordan Love's won one playoff game, right?
So big upset.
It was a big upset.
Big upset.
Exactly. But I have question marks for him. There's a lot of question marks with a lot of these quarterbacks and head coach combinations. Like the number one seed for both these conferences, they could be one and done. Like I wouldn't be shocked if the Seahawks and Broncos got upset immediately.
Yeah.
The Steelers, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Bills, all of it. It just goes back to the head coach quarterback combination for me. And that's why if you do like the 49ers, that has to be the reason why. It's Shanahan and Purdy, right? That's the only thing.
Baldy shocked us yesterday picking Sirianni and Hurts, and it wasn't close.
It shocked 94 WIP. Like they were shocked by that.
Yeah, I know. Like
but they've done it. So
yeah,
but it's context.
Like for me, Joe, it's not really that complicated. I know they're banged up. They won 12 games. They had a really good regular season, but anybody who watches them knows they're not the team they've been in the past. So they go to Seattle and they get absolutely thrashed, which like I separate the offense and defense. I'm sorry, I just do. The defense, they get the break. They get the pass. The offense is going to have to win this team any game pretty much from this point on. So I just expect the 49ers to be competitive and their offense better look a lot better than it did last week because, then I don't think it's a great season. You had a great regular season, but you really found out where you were when the chips were down. Like, that's the way I look at it.
The playoffs.
I put more pressure. This game's more about the offense to me
than
the defense.
I love that point of view. Who comes out, if they win this game?
The Eagles.
No, if the Niners win this game,
okay.
Who comes out of this game with more love from the fan base? Is it a more defining win for Shanahan or for Brock Purdy?
We have to see what it looks
how,
like.
I know.
I think it's Purdy just giving the
17-13, Niners win. He scores a fourth quarter touchdown early in the fourth quarter. They hold on to win 17-13.
He's that guy. It's Brock. It's
what about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. There's still a lot of doubt about him from, I guess, people that don't know a lot about him. But he wins. He goes into Philly and wins. Like, this is kind of what I mean. He goes into Philly and wins, and then they go into next year. His contract kicks in. It's like, okay, we got a quarterback.
Yeah.
We got a quarterback, and we're okay. If they can't generate points against the Eagles, I'm not saying the offseason is going to be a nightmare, but then you can realistically start asking questions about, well, how good is not just Purdy, but the offense. Yeah. How much do we have to rebuild it? Who's staying? Who's going?
Because you need a receiver regardless.
I think it will open up a lot of questions.
Agreed. What do you make of Kittle and really not having? He's had the one game with five catches and 98 yards in the playoffs. Everything else, three catches, two catches, three catches. Two, I went through all the game logs. He doesn't really have a signature moment other than the Cowboy catch.
And I don't want to make excuses for Kittle, but tell me any other team that's went deep in the playoffs where it's just the tight end, Jason Witten. You got to have weapons on the outside.
Yeah.
So when you say that, I know how bad or good Kittle is, so I don't look at him and put it at his doorstep. I'm like, put something around him. And when you had something around him, Debo and the likes, you know, my man was doing his thing. So
I also think he gets a pass, and maybe it's not pass isn't the word you're looking for, but like when they have dominant running performances and rushing attacks, like he's a big part of that.
That's a good point.
And he is all encompassing. It's not like how we talk about Travis Kelce, right? When he was freaking out in the Super Bowl, going to Andy Reid, throw me the damn ball. It's like, that's not George Kittle's game. It's not Travis Kelce. He's all encompassing. So when he's not catching the ball, you could at least rely on the rushing attack. But to your point, Joe, if they can't run the ball again this week and you're still not throwing George Kittle the ball, that's a problem,
Gil.
And I don't know how healthy he is.
Yeah. Well, he said he fully torn the hamstring. Remember that earlier where I was like, it's really? And you're back that early? Like, and this is kind of where you're going at, Steiny, too, if they were to lose this game with the question marks. And Shasky brought it up earlier, like the core of this team. Is this like the last hurrah
Like it is. Like, that's legit. It's a big to-do project regardless of how this season culminates, what happens.
Who, like, Purdy's young still, so I want to make sure that's very clear. He's young. Who else?
It was supposed to be Brandon.
Yeah, supposed to be Ayuk. Brandon was telling us earlier. We had Brandon Cohen covers the team.
I just forget about him.
Well, which is sad.
I know.
Yeah, because of how much he meant to this team.
No doubt.
I mean, offensively, the guys that you got to look at if they don't play well offensively would be Kittle, McCaffrey, and Trent Williams. Yeah. And what are you going to do? Wow. Like, to me, those guys are either going to be on the team next year or they're not. If they're not, that means we're really churning. Mm. If they are on the team, well, then we still need another receiver and another, maybe another receiver. But at least you'll go in expecting those guys to produce.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. It is the crossover, Spinoni and Shasky with Steiny and Goo, getting you ready for Sunday's game between the Eagles and 49ers.
See, here's the way I look at it, Joe, is like if the 49ers win this game, then I think it sets a positive tone for the off season. But if they lose this game, it's just gonna, then we're gonna start talking about the entity as a whole and, oh my gosh, what about now Purdy's here's the thing. They beat Philly, we'll be saying, and next year they're getting Warner or Bosa back.
Yeah.
If they lose to Philly, we're gonna say, well, we don't even know if Warner and Bosa are going to be themselves when
that's
they,
a great,
you know,
point.
Seriously.
That's
so,
such a great
that's
point.
How it goes.
Well, it does feel like, okay, when Steph's like, I could have played in that game six. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, I'm not, it could be factually correct, but I don't want to hear that. And like the whole Warner return, like, I love him that he's trying. And I really do get the sense he wants to be on the field. And if he could, he would.
Right.
I don't even want to allow myself to believe in that because I did that with the number one seed and I got shattered after losing it.
What do you make of, and we brought it up earlier, the Baldy thing dominated the storylines yesterday and even today, really, because we had Spike Eskin on from 94 WIP who asked Baldy that same question. And Spike said it was a little layered, though, too. It wasn't like, hey, who are you taking in like a Super Bowl or what these guys have done in their career. He was asking the question whether it's the combination of Shanahan and Purdy versus Sirianni and Hurts for like Team X, that's starting
start
a franchise.
A new team,
to start a franchise, who would you rather have? I thought that was a more interesting question. I'll ask that to you, Steiny. If you are starting a franchise, would you rather have Hurts and Sirianni or Shanahan and Purdy?
I'd rather have Shanahan and Purdy.
Okay. Me too.
Just because of what I've seen from Shanahan for 9 years. If he's got a half decent roster, he's proven he can get you to the playoffs pretty much. I think. Now, if you after that, you know, he's on his own, but the guy's a really good coach.
And he has a specialty. His forte is offense. He can make hit records for Garoppolo, Mac Jones, who nobody called, and Brock Purdy, right? Sirianni, leader of men. I won't hate on his ring, but my theme for this week is and I've been telling Steiny, confusing him, is I'm growing up, man. How much does the chip actually mean? We talk about Robert Ory. You always got nine of them, but you were never the dude. Is that better than Barkley not having any? So my whole thing was, how can we poo-poo? And I've been hating on Hurts and Sirianni, but they got it done. They've been to two, might go to three. I'm like, that just means something. But when I heard our guy who played the game, Baldy, say it wasn't close, I'm like, nah, look what Kyle's done with half, you know what I mean? With much of, well, I don't want to say nothing and diss anybody, but damn.
I'll defend Baldy in this. They've only had like success together.
He's
Sirianni
every year.
And Jalen Hurts. They've been every single year.
And Hurts doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
There is something to his availability.
Although last year there were question marks, but he silenced those in the playoffs. Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, his turnover ratio in the playoffs is really, really good outside of that first year.
I mean, I feel like he gets, both these quarterbacks get slept on, quite frankly. It's because we get so caught up in, like, is he top five or not? Is he top? Like, there's only two top five quarterbacks in the playoffs that we would all consider top five.
Right.
It's Josh Allen and Matt Stafford. Yeah. And both those guys might lose this weekend. Yeah. Probably not Matt Stafford, but it'd be a huge upset. But
if I told you guys, all three of you, the Guru computer spit this out last night. I swear. They forget offense. I'm with Steiny. The offense is, they're taking you to the promised land. To win this game at 4:15, 4:30 our time, and they win this game, the defense must force two turnovers.
I think it has
to. You have to win the turnover margin by two.
I don't know about two, because special teams can factor into this.
Yeah. Like, that counts.
So, like, for me, I think one of the hidden things, you watch the Seattle game over, they had horrible field position the whole game. I mean, the whole game. And it was this little subtlety throughout the whole game. And again, Seattle missed two kicks in that game quietly. It could have been worse.
And
if they can get a Sky Moore return, I think that's as good as a turnover. Like a 30, 40-yard return. Now I got a short field. This is a very momentum. Their offense very much reminds me of a basketball team. When they start rolling, boom, 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 they're good. When it's like stuck in the mud, everybody's missing.
If you watch the Eagles too, I think it's a bad draw that they're at home. They can get, they can pucker up. Well, if that crowd is like, this ain't
I agree.
It. So I think that's to the Niners' advantage if they show up.
It's funny you bring that up. Yeah, Spike Eskin was saying, if it's 10-6 at halftime for the Niners, Eagles fans are going to be going ballistic and it's going to be a problem.
Dude.
And he was saying like, dude, there's a pathway for the Niners to win this game. A lot more people than I thought in Philly feeling that way, actually.
Last question. I don't want to ask
watched their team.
Correct.
Like we've watched the Niners.
Exactly. They're more down about their offense than Niners fans are down about this defense, which is kind of insane because they have all their guys healthy.
It's just like the one you're married to. You know all of their not so beautiful moments.
Don't talk about that.
Goo, Steiny, I know that you listen to sports radio in many markets.
Right.
Steiny, nobody knows the Pennsylvania market like you, in this market at least. I think the Bay Area gets a improper label as a soft fan base. When I see how Warrior fans act in general, and the Warrior thing is unique because they're amazing, and there's like a Steph fan base that's baked into it. Niner fans are rabid. Is there really that big of a drop off between the fervor for Niners and Warriors versus Philadelphia sports?
That's just the way that it outpours, if you will. The Eagles, Philly fans start every season with, we stink. And you need to show us you don't stink. And out here, everyone's like, we're really good. And then they have to prove to us that they're not really good.
I had never thought of it that way. That's really good.
Like the Eagles fans, they're ready for a loss. You know what I mean? Like Philly fans are kind of trolls. Like they send a message to the team that they don't really think they can get it done. And then they don't mind getting it put in their face when they do because it means they won. So they get to win-win. They get to rip the team, say they're not good enough, and then when the team is good, they get to say, hey, we're Eagles fans. We're passionate. You know what I mean? Just the way it is.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. Explain this to me about that, though, and I agree. But I hate that we, as the Bay and the West Coast, get the college football type of, we're not real fans. I know you're diehard.
We're one of the best traveling fan bases in any sport. I'm one of them.
But explain to me why I'm tipping my cap to the Texas market, Chicago and Philly. I know a lot of people out there don't know this about shares. But when you what we do, the radio shares with both radio stations, we're in the sixes. You go to Philly or Texas, it's 14, 15.
But I don't believe in the Nielsen. So I look at YouTube. So like I look at YouTube, like we crush all those markets on YouTube.
With subscribers and everything.
So you ain't buying that. And like, when I see that, I'm like, damn.
Odyssey, our company, this is going behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Odyssey, our company.
Inside radio.
Has social media across every market.
Right.
No one has more clicks, impressions, whatever, than 95.7 The Game in the entire Odyssey portfolio of sports.
So the social media might be the new Nielsen.
It is.
Because a lot of people don't like it.
Dude, look at our comment section.
Downloads, interactions,
am I
views.
Tripping?
Yeah. No,
that's a good point.
Like, I mean, dude, Jonathan Kuminga, if I just go 888-957-9570, Jonathan Kuminga, if I just said, hey, Mac Jones should start this game, like going crazy.
If Purdy
throws two picks, you don't think Monday is going to be like dynamic in terms of callers? If they win, people aren't going to go crazy?
But he's a made man.
Who?
Purdy. Do we all agree?
Well, he's a made man contractually.
Gotcha. That's what I'm talking about, though, Scotty.
He's not quite a made man, you know,
amongst the fan base.
Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl. Is he a made man?
No, but he should be.
That's crazy.
He should be.
I mean, if Brock Purdy throws two picks and they lose 20-3, that's my score that I'm using as the defining they got hammered. And they lose 20-3. Yeah, I mean, you can say Brock's a made man all you want for the contract. That's not going to help him when he takes Levi Stadium's field if he's not playing well at all, you know?
I mean, look, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the end zone, and everyone in my section's like, you got to go to Mac Jones here in the second half in the Carolina game.
I was
Two weeks later, I sit down in my seat getting ready for the Seattle game. They go, greatest game I've ever been to at Levi's. Bears, Niners. Wow, Brock is the next Joe Montana.
You text me next week. Yank him. I looked at my phone. Y-A-N-K. I ain't heard that word in forever.
It was my dad.
10 touchdowns to zero in like 3 points. It's incredible.
Bro, I watched Joe Montana get yanked out of a Viking playoff game in 1987. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up?
Arguing.
Well, we got Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker at 1 o'clock. Odyssey NFL Insider.
Ross, that's a great question, Matt. Here's what I think Philadelphia's going to win.
Hey, that's
because I live over there.
Actually, he's been on the Niners a lot this year, hasn't he? He likes the Niners.
Yeah, you know, Guru. Yeah.
Tell you what, he did. I saw the end of the Eagles Commanders game, and he was doing the call on television. And man, he's pretty tough.
He's good.
Like he was. Oh, he killed Ringo.
Why didn't they go for the two seed?
I don't know if you know this. Those Ivy League guys, he's a Princeton guy.
Yeah.
They love to let you know.
Him and Yeast Check.
On 95.7 The Game.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
You like that? You like that?
Together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, let's get it going today, people. 49ers at Philadelphia, 1:30 on Sunday. And what's at stake? What's at stake? First round of the divisional playoffs in the NFL. 49ers are going to go in as underdogs, 4.5, 5.5, depending on what you see. They got an uphill battle. There's no doubt about it. It would be an upset if they win this game, obviously. But what else is at stake? on Sunday for the San Francisco 49ers. What's the biggest thing you're looking for, and what's the biggest thing you want to see?
Good morning, Stani. Yeah. And the biggest thing is what you said, because we've kind of been going back and forth, having fun all week. But I try to, as a father of three, teach my kids this word, perspective, and to have it in all facets of life and not, you know, react to something so quick. Take a step back and just think about it. And that's what I've been doing with this 49er season. But with all that said, it's what you've kind of talked about and what I said. This team is going as far as their offense is going to take them. So forget you and me bickering or disagreeing all week long just about the team in general. Seattle, that was a mulligan. I understand the people. You and the boss, Malachi, crunched me in the office, me and Evan, about, you know, the lack of input and production. So you are right in a sense that you got Brock, you got Kittle, you got McCaffrey. Hopefully you have Pearsall and Trent. You are going to take the Niners or be the reason that they win this game. So to me, Stani, if I'm calling or going into the 10 touchdowns in a couple weeks from Brock and then putting up, you know, 40 points or whatnot, if that's real and a strength of your team, you got to do it one time with the opportunity of having two, which you didn't do it against Seattle. So offensively, I'm really honed in on Brock and Kyle. You got to go out there and show us something.
I'm expecting them to be competitive. That's what I'm expecting them to be. I'm expecting them to look a lot better on offense than they did against the Seahawks.
Is there a score that comes with competitive? Like with 20-10?
Give me a one-score game. 17. Give me a one-score game, because if it's a one-score game, that means with 5 minutes left, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. So, you know, again, this is one of those things where, and we do this a lot, and it always like comes out differently than we ever plan. Like, I'll say, if the offense plays well, you know, that'll be good, and then they'll score 30 points, but one will be a pick six. Sky Moore will return two touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it throws the whole formula off. To me, it's pretty simple. The offense, the defense, we know what the defense is. The offense is going to have to win this ball by putting together drives, which they couldn't do against Seattle.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, if you go into Philly and you can't put drives together, or it looks a little bit like Seattle, then I do question where this team is in the entire pecking order of the league.
Do you have a problem? Because I've been consistent all week, Steiny. I'm already there. Do you have a problem with, like, that's an issue,
okay,
but I don't want to be negative.
And that is, to me, an excuse, because they are right now, they might not be 12-5 on Monday.
Right.
Right now, we've got a 12-5 team heading into the playoffs. Period. End of story. You're playing the Eagles. They've been a team has not been clicking this year. There's no reason you should go in there and get blown out. I don't think so.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, I think it's Sam Lubman or the Morning Show, Carter and the guys put up a poll. If the Niners were to beat the Eagles, is this equivalent, and I'm paraphrasing, Stani, to We Believe? No. We Believe was 1-8. This is 3-6. We expect it to be competitive. So I don't, just from that standpoint, that vantage point, I don't believe, you know, the Eagles. I love the point that I made, Stani, shocker, that I believe if this is a close game, the further it gets, that stadium and those fans are going to get antsy, and that could affect Hurts and the play calling or whatnot. So if, you know, you condense the game into it's a one-score game at half, I like the Niners.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is just going to be a lot of fun, this game on Sunday. And, you know, maybe there's a silver lining as a fan knowing that you're not expected to win this game.
You know, it's gotten up to 5.5.
I keep, you know, the term house money is one that I keep hearing. And, you know what? I believe in house money sometimes. I don't believe in house money other times. I don't really believe there can be house money for a veteran team. Like the Warriors, they don't have house money. They only have a little bit of time. That's all they have, a little bit of time. And I feel like that's where we are with the Niners. This isn't house money. This might be the last stab at it. Now, if you know, what would I say? The, you know, 2 years ago, the Oklahoma City Thunder were playing with house money.
Right.
Because they were young and upcoming and doing all that thing. But I you can't, even though they're underdogs, you can't say, hey, George Kittle's playing with house money. Well, I mean, he's a great player, but he's going to go out there and try to win the game and do nothing short of that.
Right. But he plays. Like, if I asked you right now, do you expect the Niners to win? And that
no, I don't expect the Niners to win. So does that mean
why are you screaming at me? You're screaming at me. I don't know if you're doing that on purpose. You don't have to scream at me. You're screaming at me. I'm just being
respectful. Did somebody get to you?
No.
Somebody say something to you or something?
No, you're screaming at me. You've been doing it all week, and I've been letting it go. I'm like, why are you screaming? Maybe your volume's up high.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, help me out. I'm being respectful.
I just brought him down.
Okay. Maybe that was it.
If 49ers win, what would it mean for the individual players on the team is what I'm asking right now. And if they win, what would it mean for the players on the team? Brock Purdy, 49ers win this game, what's it mean?
They're one step closer to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. The Niners, the last time they were in the playoffs, Donnie, they were the big dogs, or a lot was expected. You kind of assumed. And, you know, we threw this, batted this around that, my gosh, could this be the year when you don't expect them to do it that they do it? So if they can beat Philly, who's got some problems, we'll see. Or maybe that's overblown. You're one step closer to your goal, Stani. But I just can't shake Seattle. I know I need to. And the offense is how you're going to get this game done. And I can't wait to see, you know, what form of the Niner offense we get.
888-957-9570 is the number. I heard Grant Cohn on with the morning roast today. And he finally kind of put it like I was thinking about it was, the 49ers can't lose a low-scoring game. Like, if they lose a low-scoring game, that, to me, is a sign. If they lose a high-scoring game, that, to me, would be a better sign. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
So, we'll see. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Carlito in Alameda. What's going on, Carlito? How you doing, buddy?
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, gentlemen. This is a huge game for Brock Purdy. It's his first playoff game since the big contract. Huge game. Kyle Shanahan's first playoff game since having a bad year last year. Huge for him. To me, as a 49er fan, make the Super Bowl. You can lose. Make the Super Bowl. It's in our backyard. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Carlito. They can win this game. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you close your eyes, can you envision Brock Purdy holding that Super Bowl trophy, or does that seem a little far-fetched at this point?
To me, far-fetched, and you know why, because of the defense. But if they go prolific and do what they did against Chicago, against Philly, then anything can happen, right?
All right, the 49ers also, we got to find out about Trent Williams. He was on the practice field yesterday. Ricky Pearsall wasn't. I got to believe that today's a key day for Ricky Pearsall.
Man.
If he's out on that field, I think the 49er fans can take that as a good sign. If not, I think obviously there'll be another receiver down, and Juwan Jennings gets elevated to the number one receiver, and it makes what the offense is trying to do obviously a lot tougher.
Let me run this by you. And honestly, and I know you'll tell me what you think. Ricky is short in his career compared to Trent Williams, who's been great since he's been here. But, Stani, if I were to ask you, this is getting old, or it feels like to me it's getting old from both of them, that you don't know or you can't count on them for big games, or even when they do play, it goes down to the last second. Do you got a problem if I feel like Daryl Johnson, Ricky, you're too young, but it's getting old because you don't know?
He's injury prone. They clearly, I mean, I don't know how long it takes, but when do you say they may have drafted an injury prone receiver?
I mean, and I miss Herm on with Willard and Dib, so I didn't know. I don't know if there's said that anything he said, but I missed him. But man, it just I'm feeling some type of way. I don't know.
I mean, I'm giving the look. I mean, through 2 years, you don't know if he's going to be available.
Right.
All right. The first 2 years, he's been a player that you haven't been able to count on, and that's a kind of player where, you know, if he doesn't play Sunday, don't tell me you're surprised. You know, this is who he is right now. And so he's not reliable. But you know what? Steph Curry wasn't reliable early in his career.
Right.
So it took Steph 2 or 3 years to find his footing, and maybe Pearsall will be the same kind of guy. But yeah, I mean, he's not off to a great start. And thanks. I don't – like when you – and I don't want to talk about the off season, but what is he moving forward?
Right.
Is my question. Is he a one? Well, then he's got to play more than 8 games a year.
Is he healthy?
So we gotta figure out exactly what he can, you know, do either Sunday or long term. 1:30 is the start on Sunday afternoon. Trent Williams and Pearsall right now are the question marks, but we'll probably find out a little more about that today. But the question I'm asking 49er fans today is, if the 49ers win this game, what does it mean, if anything, for a Brock Purdy? Mm. What would it mean for a Robert Saleh if the Eagles get beat by a defense from San Francisco that is overachieving? Would a win impact Robert Saleh? And if they lose, what would that necessarily mean? Would that mean that Brock Purdy's got, you know, a little more pressure or more questions about him heading into the next year? What would it mean for Christian McCaffrey in terms of how they want to use him moving forward? So I want to talk kind of about the stakes of this game and what it might mean for individual people, and including Kyle Shanahan. 888-957-9570 is the number. 25 here, E? 25? All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Once again, we got Ross Tucker up at 1 o'clock. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, and I'm really looking forward to getting his perspective on the game. He knows Philly inside and out, Goo.
Let me ask you this about Saleh, because it's kind of funny how fickle fans are, but do you look at the fact that they only gave up 13 points from a Robert Saleh standpoint, if you're a team that's interested in him, have you already seen enough and Seattle didn't matter? Or do you give them a star because they only gave up 13 points to Seattle? Because I watched that game, Stoney. They got enough yardage and big plays to score 40. But they didn't. Was that a win?
I mean, I actually think Robert Saleh's defensive reputation is what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are any questions about whether he can get the most out of a defense. I think the league's probably smart enough to know how beat up the 49ers are right now. I just think that if they, you know, if they make a run and their defense does anything, which it probably is going to have to if they make any kind of run, then maybe Robert Saleh is, you know, on his way to being a head coach for the second time.
Yeah.
All right, we got Ross Tucker coming up at 1 o'clock. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That segment was also brought to you by Kalshi. Trade on anything.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sometimes you see something on Twitter.
None harmful.
Just a hair laid on them. And
it's the Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny Show. Let's go.
Hey, what's going on, Bay Area? Steiny and Guru with you. We got a big game on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Eagles, 49ers at Lincoln Financial Field. 49ers, I mean, the two big boys, Trent Williams and Ricky Pearsall. I'm leaning Williams is going to play, and Pearsall, I have no idea.
Wow, man.
I don't think we have any idea. I don't even know. Do you think the 49ers know right now if Pearsall's going to go?
What if I told you I think they do?
I wonder.
Miss football.
And,
I wonder.
And again, I know this week has been, how do I say it, consistent with, it seems like people think I'm making excuses, and the boss was even telling me just about what he's hearing from Niner fans and here in the Bay. But the bottom line, Stoney, is, you know, when you don't have your left tackle, you're, forget where he's at in the NFL ranking, he's your best offensive lineman. Ricky Pearsall is your most explosive wide receiver. Stoney, the right on the table brought to you by Echo Pest Control is they didn't have either one of those gents. No harm, no foul. You got to be available. I think that has something to do with them scoring three. So you hope, and Trent practiced, you hope you got those guys.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about. Like,
I don't want to make an excuse.
Yeah, Williams and Pearsall better be part of the reason why you only scored 3 points. That's, you know, that's kind of what I've been getting at. And obviously, if Williams and Pearsall don't play, you know, it makes it infinitely harder. Not infinitely harder, but it makes it much more difficult. But if Pearsall and Williams play, then yeah, I expect to see a better offensive performance. They had too many three and outs against Seattle.
I keep watching it. And it's just like, I'm not used to it.
And like, I'm starting to realize that those are the killers when you go three and out and you can't even get a first down. So your defense doesn't even get to stay off the field. So, you know, even if you get the ball at the 20 and you get it to the 45 and have to punt, that's better than three and out. Three and outs give so much momentum to the other team. I feel like in this day and age of football, you got to stay away from it.
Hey, I love that. And don't omit, Stoney, not that you're doing it on purpose. They had a 4th-and-1 that looked like it was 4th-and-30, an incomplete pass from Purdy because he was rushed, about to get touched. And I'm just like, wow. Like, we're not used to that. But to your point, or the people out there saying the schedule, how many top defenses has the Niner offense faced this year? The Texans, they got snuffed out.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is,
I don't like that part of it going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, and it feels like, you know, you obviously want to be going into the playoffs with your clicking, and the offense is going to have to really bounce back after last week's loss. They're just going to have to. They have to score more points. They've got to keep the Eagles' offense off the field.
I'm in your office now. You got the white coat on. I'll pay you after I'm done. But I need to talk to you, and I need you to help me out because it happened this morning. Evan was fighting the fight. We were having a great, provocative conversation, you, I, and the boss. And a lot of times, and I'm going to bring up our comrade, our brother, Mark Willard from Willard and Dibbs, we're always on the opposite ends of the spectrum with takes most of the time. But, Stoney, we were just talking about expectations and the finality possibly going into this game and what it means. And there's no right or wrong, but again, Doctor, can you understand where I'm looking at all the things that the Niners had to do to overcome to get to this point and even get to the playoffs. And then on top of that, put themselves in position last Saturday night at home to get the one seed, that I found that so highly unlikely after the injuries that, yes, Donnie, I'm giving them a chance to win the game. But if they don't, I'm, you know, without seeing how it pops off, I could come in here and still see the forest for the trees and say, that was shocking that you even got to the divisional round.
I mean,
well, the wild card round.
What team that didn't make the playoffs should have been better than the Niners? The Lions?
I get that should that qualify. That's a perfect one.
All right. But I got to believe the Lions, didn't they have to play a first-place schedule the previous year?
They lost to some big boys.
I mean, they had the schedule that they had. They took advantage of the schedule that they had. I mean, keep in mind, I feel like we were saying all year long, you know, we're really not going to find out about this team till the postseason because of the schedule itself. I mean, the only problem now is you're going into the playoffs, but you don't have your two defensive players. But the one thing I will say is you've been playing without them for most of the year now. So, yes, you definitely miss them, but it's not unexpected at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, guess what? You're going into this game without Warner and Bosa. But you knew that. You knew you were going to the playoffs without those guys 8 weeks ago if you thought you were going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, there's no surprises there.
Now, you have been consistent, and I gave you love for it. Kind of all week, and I mean this, You said, I don't care who, basically, I'm paraphrasing, Donnie, because this is what it sounded like to me. I don't care who's not there defensively. We've been there, done that. We know that they've just been, the injuries are out of control. But offensively, you're supposed to be a big boy. So you got, I'm fascinated in what version of the Niners offense are we going to see against this damn good defending champion, Super Bowl caliber defense. But what if I told you there's no Ayuk? Those chickens are coming home to roost because now you need him against prolific defenses. He's gone. Now Ricky Pearsall is a question mark. So, Stoney, before you sit down at Dana's or wherever you watch this game, don't you already got question marks for the Niners offense moving forward that they need to be more explosive on the outside already?
Of course.
Okay.
But, and this is my but, if I'm a 49er fan and I'm going into this game against the Eagles, and let's say Pearsall doesn't play and then they get handled at that point. I mean, I'm almost more pissed if I'm a 49er fan. Maybe not at some of the players, but like at the team. Because we're gonna look at this year and say, especially if their offense peters out on Sunday, and I don't, they're going to score more. They're going to score more than 3 points.
I got you.
But
you think?
But you know, it's the like because the 49ers and IU botched the situation because they drafted a guy who can only play half the games at receiver. I don't want to say mistakes, but do those two circumstances? Is that why we're going into the game and saying, well, we can't really expect much? Like I would be mad, kind of, that Pearsall might not play and Ayuk is where Ayuk is. I'd be more upset than like, well, now they got an extra excuse if and when they lose. We know they're not playing in this particular game, or Ayuk for example. Yeah. And that's like, how do I want to put it? Like that's part of what the Niners did this year. They did something which took a receiver away from themselves. And now they're going into the playoffs shorthanded at receiver. I got to say, well, whose fault is that?
Right.
Okay, what?
That's a different story, and you're right.
You got into a fight with your receiver. He's no longer on the team. But guess what? When we lose in the first round of the playoffs, we'll be able to say, well, look what happened with IU.
Wow.
Well, sure, you can say that, but I would hold a few more people accountable than that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos to start us off. Hey, Bobby, what's going on?
Morning, fellas.
Feliz
Año Nuevo. So,
yeah.
Look, I'd like to say a couple of things. First of all, I don't care how they win, whether they win 2-0 or 51-50. I really won't have too many takeaways. I just need them to advance because I think this team has shown they can score a lot of points, and then sometimes they're offensively challenged, and that's just this team. So I don't really know what I would carry over into the next game if they, of course, presumably advance. I'll say the same thing about Philadelphia, right? They're not very consistent. You know, they're like baseline very good, and they have a chance to win every game, but they obviously haven't shown it every game. So, look, I just need them to win, and I got no complaints, and I will not say, hey, the offense is anemic or the defense is anemic. I'll just say, thank goodness we won, and let's move on. So that being said, this idea of house money that at least the morning show keeps talking about, I think it's ridiculous. Like last week, we were playing for the number one seed. You know, at least on paper, we have a better record than Philadelphia. How can you call this house money? Like, we just snuck in there. I mean, it's ridiculous. I fully expect us to be fighting to win. Okay, you know, the Trent Williams thing, honestly, is the thing that worries me the most. So, you know, I give them like a 45% chance of winning. But if they win, I ain't shocked at all. I mean, I fully think that we'll be competitive and the game can go however it goes. And then Robert Saleh, regardless of what happens, regardless of whether we lose and we lose terribly because of the defense, for his own sake, Robert Saleh should leave. You're not going to find this many open coaching positions. And look at Kingsbury. Look at Kingsbury. What, last 2 years ago? Oh, he's going to be the next coach. And then what happens this year to him? The brother gets fired.
Yeah.
He's going to be no head coach no more. Saleh, for his own, you know, feed his family or whatever you want to say,
he needs to leave. I'd love to see him in Baltimore personally, but you know, I think they're simping on Flores right now. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, Salah should leave regardless of what happens. And I don't think the outcome of this game will affect his attractiveness as a head coach. So, yeah. Of course, I hope he stays as a Niners fan. But
you know what? Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. Evan brought up a good point. It's like, yeah, there's a ton of openings, but this will probably be Salah's last crack at it. So if he goes to one of these teams with bad ownership groups, then it's going to be sayonara probably sooner rather than later if he can't turn it around. Hey, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that.
Yeah, Saul absolutely got a raw deal.